You're listening to Humanitarian Radio with your hosts, Tony St. Tone and Janie Beauclair.
Good afternoon and welcome to another fabulous edition of Humanitarian Radio.
It is 2014. Woo-hoo! I am one of your hosts, Tony St. Tone.
And I'm Janie Beauclair. And we welcome you to today's show about fabulousness that people are doing out there in the world to help each other out. We are Humanitarian Radio.
Is fabulousness a word?
It is now.
It is. It's a new year. We're going to make up new words. We're going to get a new dictionary.
So if you've never listened to the show before, we basically put out good news for your soul. We talk about all the great things that people are doing in this world to help each other out. And, you know, with no expectations, not doing it for any reason or cause other than to be a good, supportive human being.
I got to say, after the past year of all the people that we've met, we've really met some incredible people that are doing some really, really great things out there. And I really feel the more we seek out these types of people, the more we're finding them. And it's really just awesome. And I love the fact that we're actually getting a chance to expose what they're doing.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't realize what's going on out there. And I love the fact that we have a platform to let people know, like, hey, there's some people doing some really cool things out there in the community.
What I love is that they're everyday people. They're people like you and I, you know. They're people that are just out there with a good heart and a good conscience and decide that they make up their mind that they're going to do something about something they see that they don't care for or they feel that they can improve on. And they take a big leap of faith and they go, okay, I'm putting myself out there on the ledge and I'm telling the world that this is what I'm doing to help humanity. I think it's really inspirational. I think it's just a great boost for anybody, whether you're doing these types of things or you're thinking about doing these types of things or you're just listening to other people doing these types of things. I feel like it has really, really been inspiring for me over the past year to hear all the different things that other people are doing besides you and I.
So what we talked about last episode is that I would like to do a humanitarian radio concert.
Yes,
and
sir.
That is something that I'm putting forth as my New Year's resolution for 2014, that we will have a concert this year
where
I would love to have all the different people that we've interviewed all be a part of it and just do a celebration like that.
I think that's just a great idea.
Excellent.
So we have a very cool guest on the show today. Her name is Dr. Jennifer Alves. And what made me really want to have her on the show is a quick little story that she told me about, basically, she met this young lady, and it was a stranger, and she discussed the stranger's problem with her and found a resolution for it and continues to support this young lady, complete stranger, in the most beautiful way, and I can't wait till she tells her story. I was watching a TV program last night, and it made me think about talking about it on the air today because I found it so disheartening, a statement that was made. And I thought, geez, you know, it's just really crazy that people actually react this way. So what I'm talking about is I was watching a almost like a How Did They Get There show, and it had country star Miranda Lambert on the show. And she was talking about how she had come from rags to riches. Their family was literally living off the land at one point in a dilapidated old house, boarded up windows and all that type of thing. And when she was very young, and her father at one point said, "My children had nothing in the house to eat on this one particular day but peanut butter and crackers." And he said, "I made a vow at that point that I would never let my family go through that again." So they lived with family for a while. They moved out. They got their own rental house, and he grew a garden, and he taught the kids to go hunting. And they literally pulled all the food out of the garden, and they would hunt for their meat every day. So they would eat rabbit and deer and things of that nature. They grew pigs and chickens and ducks, yada, yada. So what the story she was saying was, "I've always been a hunter, and people give me a hard time about that because I also have a foundation that helps rescue dogs. And people say to me, well, how can you have a foundation that helps animals while you're killing animals?" And she says, "Well, the difference is I don't eat dogs and cats. I eat food that I've lived off the land of my entire life. And it made me go, how sad is that, that people would discourage her from doing a foundation that helps save and rescue animals just because their natural growth was hunting for their food. And literally, if they had not hunted for their food, that family would have starved at the time.
That's crazy. It's crazy that they actually, obviously the people that are making those comments have never had to hunt for their food. They just go to the supermarket and purchase whatever
exactly.
they want.
Exactly. And I thought, how, you know, what a world we live in when people are cutting other people down and saying nasty comments, you know, on their Facebooks and on the news and all of that thing about people because they have a foundation to help a cause. And I'm like, she said something really strong. She said, I've learned not to be discouraged by the people who do not understand. She says, obviously they're in a different frame of mind than we are. And I thought, yeah, you know, sometimes you have to have a thick skin when you're doing a foundation because you do get the people that give you a little bit of grief and form their own opinion. And a lot of times you just have to overlook that and know that you're on your own path for your own reasons and keep on pushing.
Well, especially in her situation, she definitely had to do what she had to do to survive and get by, and her family was all relying on the same thing. They all needed to survive.
And let's face it, before there were grocery stores, everybody was hunting for their food.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, this is not like some new thing. That's like the whole existence of humanity was based on this type of behavior. So it's not like they're doing something so far-fetched. Jeez.
No. I think what happens is that they didn't realize that it's still happening today. There are people out there that are still hungry enough that they need to go out and hunt their food and grow their own food. So it's no big surprise. I think what happens is that you have a woman who is now successful and doesn't have to do that. And they're just looking at her past, but unfortunately, her past was in that situation where she had to do it.
But let's bring up another conversation in the same vein. We had a person, which we're going to remain anonymous, that tagged a comment on our humanitarian.com site, and she was not happy with our show, although she, I don't believe, ever listened to it. She said a comment like, I can't believe you're supporting Hollywood haters, more or less. Said a lot of really bad comments that were not very nice. And, you know, that there were a lot of better things out there, basically, that we could be doing.
Well, again, I think what she did is she looked at it and just went, oh, they're from Hollywood, so obviously they don't support values and this and that. And you're going, wait a minute, you've never even listened to our show. And we actually invited her on the show.
Yeah, I responded to her. I responded to her by saying we would love, thank you for your comments. We would love to share with the world what great things you are doing to support humanity. Please get in touch with us, and we'd love to have you on the show. But, which, you know, yeah, she did decline and said she was supporting her local church, and that's all that she was able to do, which I congratulated her for. But the point is, people don't think before they let things out of their mouth, and if you are out there doing a foundation and working it as hard as you can, and people drop in and say things, don't let it bother you. Keep on going.
Amen. Well, we are going to be right back after this commercial break with Dr. Jennifer Albs.
Hey, this is Janie from Artistic Journey. Start off your new year with a new marketing strategy. Whether it's for your company or your personal goals push, let Artistic Journey help you find the unique way to show off your endeavor. With over 20 years of marketing experience in big corporations and homegrown businesses and everything in between, Artistic Journey can help you pave a new product path or an event marketing path. Check out ArtisticJourney.com. See the wide array of marketing merchandise available for you to put your logo on for your next big event, your personal party, or your big corporation marketing push. Get into the swing of 2014 and get your business in motion with an artistic promotion.
Positive affirmations wrapped in pop rock songs. Motivational musician Saint Tone.
I'm a magnet. Off of money now. I'm a magnet. up the money now.
Check out his latest live show, The Rise Up Experience, at www.sainttone.com. And pick up his newest CD, Outside the Box, available on iTunes. For music with a positive message, check out sainttone.com.
Humanitarian Radio, shouting out some good news for your soul.
So I am delighted to offer for you today Dr. Jennifer Alves. And she is the author of The Ten Commandments of Loving Yourself and also Queen Bee of a TV show called Lessons of Love, and just a great all-around humanitarian. And we love, love, love to welcome you to the show, Jen. Hi, how are you doing today?
Hi, thank you so much for having me on your show.
Absolutely a pleasure.
I'm excited about having you on our show. You know, could you just have me on your show, actually?
That's a good trade-off.
That's right.
Yeah.
Great show that we did. It's going to be coming up soon.
Excited about that.
So why don't you talk about the show while you're talking about the show?
Yeah, since that topic came up and I did an interview for your show, let's talk about your show and the accolades that it's won and what people are saying about it and what inspired you to actually start a show like this.
So it's called Lessons of Love?
I do. I have a statewide show called The Lessons of Love. It's a show about helping people to learn how to love their life, to love themselves so they can love their life.
Excellent.
And initially we're doing the series based on the Ten Commandments for Loving Yourself, the book that I wrote. So that's what the show has been centered around so far. And different shows, what I do is I bring a professional on and then we interview people off the street. So, Tony, of course, you were on our show about not accepting toxic words, you know, especially lyrics, music, toxic lyrics. That's the show that we did. And because we all know how damaging words and lyrics can be, especially when you're unaware of it. So it has an insidious effect on you. Sometimes you're not even aware that it's taking place. So
right.
I thought that was a great Yes. So I thought that was a great show, the great messages that you brought out, Tony, that, you know, you can play these messages over and over in your head and like, the music, and before you know it, you're starting to believe what you're hearing, and it can have a negative effect on you. So that's what the show was that you did.
You know, an interesting switch on that is Tony does a talk about how people that are writing these rap songs write in these songs, I'm rich, I make a lot of money, I have everything I want, I'm doing this and I'm doing that, and they start out writing these songs, and the next thing you know, they are rich. They are making a lot of money. They do drive the car they sang in their song.
You know, when MTV Cribs was out, which is a TV show that would show these celebrities' houses, I used to go, who's this up-and-coming rapper? I've never heard of him. And then you would just hear these songs. It's like, I got my Mercedes-Benz and my Ferrari and this and that and this, and they're just saying it. But they're
over
saying
and
with,
over and over and
with
over
such
and over.
Passion, and they're so like right behind it, 100%. They're just putting it out there. The next thing you know, you know, you're watching a TV show, and the guy has all these things. You're like, oh, that's interesting. So
it's the opposite of the toxic lyrics. The toxic lyrics give you toxicity. The positive lyrics do great things for you.
Yeah. So
that's right.
Yeah. So thank you for having me on your show, and I love the fact that you're putting TV. That's worthwhile, worth watching out there. And from what I understand, people have taken notice. And tell us a little bit about what people are saying about your show.
Well, here's the thing. What inspired me to do the show was, you know, I'm an advocate for youth especially. And after watching TV and flipping through stations a few times, I realized that there isn't a lot of positive messages that were or role models for our youth, and a lot of our youth, they don't understand. They've never heard. Some of them have not heard or seen a way to feel better about themselves because they might not be in a situation of having that. So I said, you know what, our youth, they deserve to be able to watch something on TV or they can hear something of good about how to go about their lives, about improving their lives. And so that's one of the reasons I started the show. And So that's how that whole thing got started. I was working with the youth and decided that's what we need. We need to put out some positive messages out there.
And you're definitely in the perfect position to be a guide on this level because you have a set of beautiful 15-year-old twin ladies in your home. So you are right, you know, in the thick of things of the age bracket to really understand what their friends and people around them are subject to and not subject to.
Right, what they're listening to and what they're not listening to. So
exactly.
People have taken notice to your show, and from what I understand, it's like, you know, you've gotten some really positive response on it.
I did. Actually, in 2011, I was a finalist for the Best Health, Fitness, and Self-Help Program for the PEG Access Award. I was a finalist. And I had only put out two shows at that time. So I was kind of surprised
that means you got that kind of
recognition that fast.
You put out a really strong show, obviously. You know?
We did. And I have people, you know, stopping me now and saying, oh, I love your show, and, you know, it's so helpful. And our show is running also at a time. I was a volunteer for the prison for women. Mm-hmm. And I would make copies of our show, and I would bring it in to our class, and it really touched the women's lives, they told me, that they were able to finally see and hear something that they haven't heard before, which is very sad, and, you know, have it change their life. So that, to me, was the most encouraging message that my show was affecting people, was hearing it from the women that were in prison.
And your show, you started your show just on your own, just the thought of, I need to get something out there. And how did you go about starting it? What I want to share, Jen, is I want people to realize how easy it is to make a difference.
Okay. I think, let me think of how I even went about starting the show. Interesting.
You had the thought.
I heard that out in Rhode Island out here, I heard that you could have your own little TV show. It doesn't cost anything. All the taxes that people are paying on their cell phones and everything like that actually goes to public access.
Hmm.
So I said, really? So I went over there and I saw the studio, and they said anybody can have a show. So I said, oh, okay. So, you know, I'll try to do the show. And I did it very, very small in a few towns. And they said that what you need to do is, you know, put your name on a list. And it could take months and months and months, but eventually you could go statewide, which I think they just do this in Rhode Island. You can go locally and across the United States, but to go statewide, public access, I think, is just unique to Rhode Island.
And even you know, some of the other states that don't offer the statewide, even just to go across the state is huge. Getting your word out anywhere outside of your house is fabulous.
I was
going
to say, because I've done some public access when I was living in Connecticut. Through New Haven and from Milford. So, I mean, the possibilities are there. It's just a matter of claiming it and saying, I want to claim a time slot and put something out that's positive.
Yeah, and see, and I didn't even realize public access offered that. So that's great news for me. I just looked at Tony and said, why aren't we doing that here in California?
And, you know, I have to tell you, I think I have the winds of destiny helping me here, because I went out, I did the very local in front of, I did my show in a few towns, and I put my name on a list. And they told me, I said, Jen, it could take months and months to get, you know, a statewide slot. And I said, that's okay, I'm not in any rush.
Yeah.
Well, two days I got offered a statewide slot. And they came back and they said, let's do, you know, you have, I forgot, maybe Tuesday morning at, you know, 8 o'clock. And I said, listen, my audience is the youth. I need an evening slot. And he said, Jen, that is really hard to get. Why don't you just get your foot in the door and take time? I said, no, we are worth an evening slot. And I rejected that slot, which I was advised that I never should have done that. They said, Jen, you should have gotten your foot in the door and this and that. I said,
yeah.
I know I probably made a big mistake. Just get your foot in the door and forget about it. Well, about 8 months into it, I got really busy, and I called the studio and I said, listen, you need to pull my show. I don't think I have the time to do this. Just pull it, you know. And they did. Well, they did locally. And then about a few months later, I get a phone call. And I said, hello. I'm sorry I didn't get my things out of the studio yet. I've been so busy. He goes, Jen, that's not why I'm calling. I said, why are you calling? They said, you're not going to believe this. But a statewide position came up, and it has your name on it. I never pulled your name out. I forgot. And it's prime time. And people wait 20 years for this slot, Jen. And I refuse to tell them no unless you tell me to do so. I said, well, of course, I'm not going to say no. So we took it. So
excellent.
That's how that came about.
Isn't that awesome?
Wow, if that's not divinely guided, I don't really know what is.
Exactly, so.
You were trying to get away from it, and it wouldn't let you. They're like, nope, 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 nope.
Sorry,
you already have an assignment.
We're dragging you back in.
That's right, so that's how that happened. So.
That is excellent. Now, that goes on, is it once a month, or is it, it airs 4 times a month, but it's the same show. Is that how it works?
That is how it works right now. Yes, that's how it works for everybody out here. You put one show on, and you know, once a month. And so my show is Wednesday at 8 o'clock.
And now, can people in other states watch that at all? Or would you have
to? No, I don't think so. Unless they have, it's on Cox. I don't think so.
I'm wondering if, like, you went to Cox and you said, I want to watch this show, and I'm in California, and I wonder if you could watch it from somewhere else.
No, but I do believe that I can take my show now and I can send it to different, as long as I have like a sponsor or something, I can actually get a show going in other states, I believe. That's probably the next step here. So
I have a suggestion, if you don't mind. Is it possible for you to take your show that you produce every month and make a YouTube channel of it?
Exactly what I was thinking.
I did, actually. I do have a few. I had a few out there initially, and then I just haven't finished following through with that yet. So there's a few out there. There are a few of my shows already on YouTube.
Well, then there's a New Year's resolution that we got a whole
series.
That's
what I need to do.
For 2014.
Right. That's something I'll definitely pursue. Thank you for that.
You're welcome. See what I'm going to do is I'm going to plant these little seeds.
Make you crazy.
And just see if they grow, because we already know you're multitasking enough right now. But we're going to put one more thing on your plate because you're good at multitasking.
Well, I think it would be really, you know, it would be really strong to allow kids all over the country to be able to see your show, and that'd be one way that everybody could see it.
And you can help kids get kids involved that want to be involved in a TV show. It's like, great, guys, help me produce the show and let some kids help you put it onto YouTube. So it's like, this is the show that's being aired statewide in Rhode Island, but also appears on YouTube.
Offer internship.
There you go.
There you go. Now you got a free helper.
We're putting your whole
plan
together for you.
That sounds incredible. I have to tell you, this is what's interesting, is I set out to help the youth. I set out to help, you know, teenagers and probably people in their 20s with my book and the curriculum that I developed. And what happened was I started reaching an audience that I was unaware that I was going to reach. It was really geared for women initially. And when I did a few conferences, there happened a few guys around, and they came up at the end and said, wow, that was incredible. I was like, really? So, and then also I had people in their 30s and their 40s and their 50s. So the point that I want to bring up here is when we reach out for people, we don't know the extent of just how far we're reaching at times. You never know how far your message is going to go.
Exactly.
And who you're going to affect. Yeah, so.
You know, we have that conversation quite often, Tony and I. We had a gentleman that was on our show that I ran into. He was a chef in Clearwater. I was at a client event, and he was a chef at the hotel at the Marriott I was staying at. And he, I just spoke to him for a few minutes, and I offered him to be on our show. He had a great story. He was doing some really cool stuff. And that same weekend, while I was still in Florida, Tony called him, interviewed him, and had him on the show, and he talked about the stuff he was getting ready to do for Thanksgiving. About a week later, he sends a message to us saying, you guys have no idea what you did for me that day. I was so down in the dumps. I had all these things going on that were not great, not happy, and I was pretty much throwing in the towel. And just listening to what you had to say and your kind words, yada, 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 changed my entire perspective, viewpoint, and where I intend to go in 2014. And so we talked about that on one of our shows, saying, you have no idea the words you say, how they affect people, how they change people's lives, how people tell other people, and the word gets passed on, and the next thing you know, the conversation's happening across the country.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I totally believe that.
You just don't know when you do something that you're thinking is so small, how far and wide it can reach. And so I think that's an incredible gift that we all have, is to do something small and be able to help others. You don't have to do something big to help people, in other words. So.
Exactly. And your show, you know, you're producing this show once a month, and you have no idea on who it's reaching out there, and yet people are coming up to you saying, I love your show. And these are probably people you've never even met before, but they recognize you, and now you're, next thing you know, you're a local celebrity because you're just putting out some positive stuff that people would, are gravitating
looking
to.
Looking for, yeah.
So let's talk about your book and what inspired you to write this book, and where can people find it, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay, the book, The Ten Commandments for Loving Yourself, I'll just start by saying it's on Amazon.com. You can get it through there. But what inspired me to write the book was my life was I wasn't really liking myself a few years ago. I was making poor dating decisions. I just was in a very, down and out place in my life. And I prayed about it, really, is what I did. Yeah, I just prayed. What can I do to change my life? I just didn't like myself. And to be honest with you, very soon after that, I was inspired to write that book. So it was an inspiration to write it. And that book actually changed my life. And I do want to put a caution out there for anybody reading the book. It can actually change your life.
So be prepared.
Be prepared, yes, it can. So the book, changed my life. It helped me to re-ground myself, like myself again, make better decisions, and really learn. I learned that you can start over at any time you choose to do so. That's the message, really, for everybody out there, that any time you choose to do so, you can start your life over. However, most of us need help to do so. The book is about liking yourself. It's about not tolerating any ounce of abuse. It's about getting help if you have that. And I again, want to say out there, if anybody out there is being abused and they said they want to change your life, you want to make sure that you have a safety plan in place first. It's very dangerous to get out of a relationship or something very,
toxic,
bad without help or having something in place first. So
do you feel that the Ten Commandments are based on what your experiences were? Or is it an oversight of what you see happening around you, or a combination of both?
No, I would say that the Ten Commandments for Loving Yourself is spiritual guidance to help, people to love and respect themselves and not settle for anything less than they deserve in their relationship and life. Now, the curriculum that I teach and developed is very different than this book. This book, I probably wrote the book in all of an hour's time, because it was inspired for me to write it. I wrote it, I would
sure.
say, during prayer. Yes. So the book is very different than, conference material that I have, because I bring in science a lot when I talk about these things. So it's almost like a screen. It's that you can filter relationships through. Am I being cherished in this relationship? The one of the chapters is to be cherished. You are a rose. You deserve to be cherished. Or, don't accept toxic words. And you think to yourself, are these words toxic? I don't accept these words. You can say it very softly, I'm not accepting this, or something like that. So it's really a scream for yourself. And for some people, I lost my father at a very young age. And a young girl at the age of 15 needs her father, male figure, platonic. And I lost that very young. And so it's almost like a pep talk. Well, telling you, don't accept toxic words, be cherished, that kind of thing. And then, and it gives you a guide so you can look at your life differently. Does that help?
Yeah, totally. And so this is what you bring into the prisons when you speak to ladies there, is info from
I
this
do.
Book?
I do. I actually, I give my book out, to everybody there. And I've developed a curriculum off of the Ten Commandments. For example, Be Cherished is the first little chapter, and the chapters are all maybe three paragraphs. I know in today's society, a lot of us have attention deficit and have to read things fast. This book can be read in 20 minutes or less, so it's very fast.
Nice.
And with my curriculum, I will bring science into it, so the book about being cherished. Why should people out there be cherished? Well, you talk about the diamond, for example, and people cherish the diamond. But why is that? Why is there so much, valuability given to a diamond? It's not the rarest gem at all. So there are gems out there that are rare. They're special because of the way they're made. They might be made below the earth with a whole bunch of different compounds. They might be only found in one area. So there are many other reasons that make a gem special. And that's what makes people special, the way they're made. So I bring science in, and then I bring the person in. and I teach people why they should feel special outside of the fact that we are all God's children. You know, not many people, you know, there are people out there that are atheists, and it's a non-denominational class that I hold, and so for those that, you know, don't have, you know, a religion or a link to spirituality, I bring in the science about DNA, and I talk about how there are no two people at all out there alike. Before we were born, and after, no two people in the world at all are the same because of the DNA and how they split and how those split and how they split. And so I make everybody realize just how special they are.
Very nice. Very nice. We do a lot of work at the prisons, too. So we definitely understand when you say the response you get from them, it's fueling. It fuels you to keep going and doing the things that you're doing. With us, we go and perform at the prisons, and we spend time at the ladies' prison and at the men's prison both. And although it's completely different personalities and feeling at each place, you definitely see that they appreciate an outside thought coming in, something that connects them in a different direction than they've thought about in the past. And it's I think it's invaluable for people that are, you know, whether you're in prison or you're in the prison of your mind and you're free, either way, it's invaluable for people to get fresh information that gives them a brand new start and a brand new outlook or a new perspective that they hadn't considered before.
That is so true. You know, it was surprising to me, actually, when I started teaching. And I know I do a little a little bit of a quiz or before and after. And one of the questions I ask is, do you feel special? And before my class, 100% said no.
Wow.
100% of them. 100% said no. And by the time I was done, 100% said yes.
Awesome.
And isn't that awesome?
That's
because
amazing.
Because you're exactly right. They're hearing things that they've never heard before. You know, and it's not just the prison, which is so surprising. A lot of people don't feel special out there. They don't love themselves. And it's hard to when, you know, different media, they don't support self-respect, respect of others. So being in relationships.
I think that's a direct relation to the times and how people are raised now, you know, and the difference in parenting and marriage and relationships and all of that. I think it's unfortunate, but I definitely, you know, there's quite the pattern of people who don't feel loved, don't feel special, don't feel like they have their feet on the ground or that they have, you know, they're rooted into something. And I think that's as a result of how the family dynamic is changing completely, and therefore they're not getting those loving tools, feel strong about yourself, love yourself tools that we were raised with when we were young.
But to add to that, though, there's people like you, Jen, that are actually supplying that for these people. And that's what I applaud you for, is for you going out there and writing the book that you wrote, but also not just writing a book and going, there you go, I just put it out, it's done. You took the book and you're bringing it to people that society more or less has forgotten. They're like, they're in jail, they belong to be in jail, you know, forget them. You're like, wait a minute, they might have made a mistake, or you don't know the reason why they ended up there. Maybe they had a really bad upbringing that put them in that position. But you're giving them a second chance, and I think that's what's so damn important, is that people get that opportunity to get a second chance, and you're giving them these life skills to come out and recreate their lives and reinvent themselves, so that the past is the past, and now the future could be something brand new for them.
Yeah, well, the other thing that I learned is that, you know, you have this idea of people in prison, you know, they probably deserve to be there, you know, whatever, you know, you hear these sort of things, and every single one of them was broken, all of them. They were broken, came from, you know, broken home or from a situation that they were thrown into. And the thing about the book is I never set out to sell the book. I don't sell my book. I promote the message. Mm-hmm. So it's not about the sell of the book. It's just about the message. I give it out. And it's, in today's society, as you were saying, Janie, it's, you know, it's a different society. There's a lot of brokenness and there's a lot of abandonment.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of people out there looking for love in all the wrong places.
True.
That, you know, trying to not feel, you know, they do things out of fear of abandonment. A lot of people do. They're seeking love so they don't feel abandoned. And what this book will do is to teach you to love yourself. You can't depend on other people changing the way they are. You can change yourself. You can protect yourself. You can have a screen and learn how to tell, you know, to discern between love and, you know, other, you know, maybe not true love. Because
right.
Everybody deserves to have true love and to feel cherished and to be cherished.
And
so,
you know, something that's really a beautiful thing is once you discover that, once you discover the person that you are, and
uh-huh.
and you start to exude love because you realize you are love and you're full of love and you have love, and then it's amazing how the people around you that are now looking at this new attitude you have or this new thought you have for yourself suddenly are, you know, re-looking at themselves going, well, geez, all of a sudden, Tony's really happy and he really loves himself and he loves everything around him, and, you know, I'm around him all the time now, so I might revisit how I'm thinking about myself, seeing how he's changed his life as a result of respecting himself now. So it's contagious, which is awesome.
What I love about what you two are doing with your music is you're actually doing, you know, giving a tool to people. It's a replacement tool. When I talk about, like, reprogramming yourself, it's especially the toxic words or, you know, things that are said to you, I teach doing a block when it comes in. You block, but you also need to replace.
Mm-hmm.
You need to replace, you know, you can block something out, but you also have to replace what was there. And positive, encouraging music that you do is so vital in helping people to heal themselves and to come back and have an internal message that's positive. What's so damaging about, and I go back to toxic words because they're insidious and they're out there all the time, is it creates low self-esteem. It could be something, you know, you're stupid or, you know, just
yeah, and you
passing.
And you think you're saying it jokingly and funny, but the receiver of that is not feeling the ha-ha moment.
Right.
No,
so
they're feeling
that,
it, and it keeps going much deeper, you know.
They're replaying it in their head over and over and over, hearing you say it to them. I mean, that's the cycle of that madness of toxic words.
I was going to say that, you know, you can take someone who is extremely famous, like Michael Jackson, and when Michael Jackson was growing up, his older brothers always used to say, you've got a big, flat nose. Man, look at your nose. Man, your nose is big and flat. You got a big, flat nose. Well, as he got older, those words kept playing over and over in his head. Now, here's a guy who's extremely talented, extremely successful. He started at the age of 5. But if you notice, he kept getting a nose job and getting a nose job and getting a nose job. And it still wasn't right. And if you look at the transformation from when he was a kid to when he passed away, his nose almost looked like a beak because he tried to change it so much. And now here's a guy who would think is so confident, has everything in the world going for himself, but yet
he kept hearing his brother's voices in his head.
Yeah, these words that were just his brother's teasing affected him that much.
His entire life.
Wow.
You know, when you
and
look
how
at
often it, does it happen out there with everybody?
Exactly.
Right.
Now,
as a kid, and it kind of dictates your whole life and the choices that you make.
And here's a guy who had so much going for him. You're like, he could easily say, yeah, I got a flat nose, but I can dance, I can sing, and, you know, look at me. I'm extremely talented. And yet, those weren't enough. It was the teasing that someone said something about his nose physically that he's like, and it just affected him. So, yeah, I think it's extremely important to encourage people to
keep your words in check.
Yeah, keep your words in check and you know, and develop some type of armor for yourself to go, you can say what you want about me, but I am who I am, and not let those words try to affect you as much. And that's why I felt like it was strong to bring up Michael Jackson, because here's a guy who is such a well-known celebrity who still fell victim to the most common teasing from two older brothers.
Family bullying.
Yeah.
That was a very powerful message telling that you're right. It can happen to anybody. And, you know, what happens is you develop an internal critical voice. You become sometimes your own critic. And you don't realize it. So then you start self-doubting yourself, everything that you're making, and you start walking on eggshells around people. Am I saying the right thing? Am I doing the right thing? And it really attacks your soul. So that's what's so important about being careful, blocking out messages, coming back and replacing them with positive messages, positive music, like what the both of you are doing, put that into your mind and let it take on a life of its own. So it's the food that your mind needs, really. So
I appreciate that, and I thank you for those kind words.
So important.
And, you know, that's what we're trying to do with shows like this. It's called Humanitarian Radio because we're trying to get messages out there so people know that there are positive people doing some positive things out there, and it's not necessarily the 6 o'clock news, which seems to focus on every bad thing that could possibly happen in the city,
the world.
State, worldwide, and then they go out to, you know, outer space.
So I'm gonna change the subject for the moment and talk about something outside of this world, so outside of our country. We were talking about helping strangers, helping people you don't even know. It doesn't matter if they're a neighbor and you don't know them, if they're in a different city, a different state, and even a different country. And, Jen, I had caught wind of a family that you're helping in Africa, and it's a family that you have never met, and you've been helping them along for quite some time. Tell me about that and how that all began and what made you decide to help a family.
You know, I've always had, a desire to help others. Ever since I can remember, I've had a desire to do that, and I've actually sponsored people in the past. When I was very young, I sponsored people in other countries, and, you know, I do help people in America. And but I decided, you know, what happened was is I met somebody. I met somebody who is a legitimate refugee who was separated from her family, who is in Africa, and she's a beautiful person, and she, you know, she's struggling out here with her kids. They got separated. So some of her kids are still in Africa, and I talked on a few different occasions, only a few times with her over the course of a year. And what's interesting, she never asked me for help. She never did. And I just came up to her, and I saw her struggling and away from home, away from her family, and I just said, and I was looking to sponsor someone online, actually, at the time, and I just said, can I ask you something? I said, you're out here taking care of your kids and everything. What would it take? Because she would send money a little bit home every other month to help her village.
Okay.
And there's about eight people out, and her, you know, her mother, her son, you know, relatives all live under this, you know, this hut with leaky roofs and everything. I said, what would it take so that way you would never, so your family could in Africa could eat and not have to worry about food, and you never have to worry about that again. So that way you can take care of your family here. What would it take? $50.
What were you expecting? What were you expecting her to answer you with?
What, when I asked her that question?
Yeah.
What an interesting thought. I don't know, to be honest with you. I was just asking, what would it take? Would it take $50? What do they eat out there? They eat bananas? Sheep, they eat bananas. They travel for miles. They're in a remote village.
Yeah.
And I said, I'd have to think about that, Jane. That's a good question. I wasn't expecting anything, really. And I just said, would $100 a month take care of people in your village and your mother so that you never have to worry about that again? That way you can focus on yourself here. And her whole face, you know, she kind of looked at me. She goes, yeah, $100 a month would be plenty. And I said, then you'll never have to worry about that again because I'm going to sponsor your family.
That's
and
right.
my girls and I sponsor her family. And I know where it's going. And we are getting ready to help get a school built in the village. I just spoke with them yesterday.
Awesome. Wonderful.
Yeah.
So what do you know that they do with the money that you send them?
They buy food. They go and they get bananas. They go and they, you know, get just the basic staples of food that they need. That's what they do. And, well, you know, it's interesting. It's, you know, it's interesting to give money out, you know, to people. But I feel like I have a link with them. Because
absolutely.
I know the person. I now know the person whose family is there. I mean, she was a stranger when I met her, and I only talked to her a few times. And so I'm thinking to myself, well, what happened was I went to go see her very recently. I went to go pick up a DVD that someone went out to the village recently and took a DVD of the village. I said, you know what, we hear of these things. People are sending money, but they're more apt to help
if they see.
We can see something tangible what they're doing.
Right.
If you go out there, take a DVD, and she did. And I went to go see her, and I walked in the door. It was her cousin that took the DVD of it. Walked in the door, and she said, Jen, hi, Jen. I just have to tell you, my mother cannot stop thanking you. She can't stop thanking you, and she wants to talk to you. And I told her that she will never understand a word that you're saying. And she looked at me, and she said, you do all this for my mother. I can't give anything to you. And I looked at her, and I said, this is not about you doing anything for me. In life, people have people that help them. I've had many people help me in my life. It's your turn. You deserve it. it's your turn to get help. And so that's what we're doing. So I contacted them, you know, today, and I found out what would it take to build a school. There are 100 kids out there, and there's up to 200 that could use the school. And so I'm getting some figures back, and we're going to take it from there. So
I was just going to say, so what would it take? And
what are the figures then?
Well, it's coming back. I mean, she's writing it all up because I was just guessing. I said, what is it, you know, about $3,000 for a hut, are we talking? She said there's different things you can do. You can make a hut school out there. They have something out there, but the roofs are leaking. The kids are sitting on broken benches. And she said a brick, you know, you could do it either way. You could do a brick building. And so I believe that when you do things, you want to build a foundation, like a relationship.
Right.
You want to build a foundation that's very solid. So I'm not thinking of building a hut. I'm thinking of building a brick school out there.
Nice.
So that's what I told her. I said, let's get the figures to do something for a brick school. Let's make this long-lasting.
I love that idea.
And so I should be getting those figures any day. I would only be guessing, you know, 10,000 or 6,000. I'm not really sure, so.
Please keep us in the loop with that, because that's something we will definitely broadcast and talk about what you're doing and help to try to raise some money for you to be able to put
that
together.
Oh, wow, that would be great.
We would love to be part of that with you.
Yeah, I was going to say, what part of Africa is this taking place in?
This is they're out in Liberia, and, you know, there's some bigger cities in Monrovia out there. It's a side village. It's in the Chensla village in the Garbon district out there. So, and I know, you know, my concern was making sure they had water.
You know,
some of them don't have water, and some of her family members died because of that. But, you know, I found out today they do have one well. She says it's a very small well, and they have drinking water. And I said, well, maybe we could, you know, focus on wells. She goes, Jen, let's focus on a school. We have these young kids out there. We have some teachers out there. We just don't have the thing. And that's building hope.
Right.
Is to educate.
Totally.
And so they can, yes. So.
I think that's awesome. I totally, Tony's talking about Humanitarian Radio putting on a concert this summer. And I was saying we should do it in more than one place. We should do it out west, and we should do it out east. And maybe we can do like a summer concert in New England to benefit, you know, raising money for the school.
Yeah.
Wow, that would be incredible. Just gave me the chills, really. So.
Well, what my thought.
So it is.
What my thought was is we've had so many incredible guests on our show, and I said for 2014, New Year's resolution is to put on a concert that would support all the different causes that have been on this show. If it's Rock for Vets, if it's you sponsoring a family in Africa, if it's Walk for Breast Cancer, whatever it is, collaborate all of them together and do a show where everyone is represented, everyone gets to speak a little bit about their organization, and all the proceeds get broken up to everyone.
Well, and that, too, allows sponsors, that specific people that sponsor breast cancer awareness, specific people that sponsor food into different countries. It allows different people to come in and sponsor those particular activities that they feel close to.
Wow, I think that's incredible. And what you're doing here is you're not just having a concert. You're spreading love.
Oh, it's a total awareness day. Yeah.
It's our
own. You know, people say that to me. They say, you know, why are you – you know, we need to take care of our own in the United States. You know, forget about other people in other countries. We need to focus on the United States. And I do agree with that. We need to take care of, you know, people that are going, you know, here in the United States, they ask me about Africa. And I do help people in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
But helping people out there also is spreading the generosity of the hearts of people in America. And it's a diplomacy, really.
Absolutely.
It's a relationship. So when she talks about her mother and the people in the village that talk about Jen, which, you know, she just wants to thank me all the time now, and so they're now, it is helping the United States.
Absolutely.
It's helping relationships here and building and working together, you know, for humanity, not drawing these delineations of race or, you know, states or something like this. It's helping your fellow man.
Absolutely.
Well, I was going to say, and your $100, let's face it, your $100 over there,
it's like a million,
is going a lot further than it would here. Not to say that we can't use it here. It's just that yours is going much further there, and that's what you chose to do. And when people say, well, why don't you take care of the people here in your own hometown? It's like, I am, but it's a humanitarian thing. It has nothing to do with states and borders and worldwide.
But also, she is helping someone here in the U.S.
Yeah.
That's how this all started, was because she took a kind heart to someone in the U.S. that she met. So
I am helping her indirectly because she no longer has to spend
money
for her mom.
And I'm sure that's much bigger help than you think. You know, just giving her some mental relief about her family I'm sure is a much bigger help than you think. But I also want to encourage people, because I say, you know, if you see that your neighbor is hurting, or someone close to you, or you hear of a friend that needs a hand and there's something you can do about it, reach out and do that. That's exactly what you did and what you are doing. And it's that easy. It doesn't matter if they're across town, across the state, across the country, or in another country. It's just reaching out and being a good human.
Can I take just a quick moment here to tell you that I work with the vets. And so, you know, people always are wondering, you know, what we can do. They post, you know, love our vets, mm-hmm. and this and that. And you don't have to do a lot. I'm bringing this up because when I say I help people in our country,
yeah,
I have in different ways. They may not have to be big ways, but one of the vets, when I was there over the Christmas holidays, I saw some cards coming in from the kids to the vets. And I saw them holding these Christmas well wishes, you know, these cards that they did in their hands, and it brought the biggest smile to our vets. And I watched them hold these cards for the whole day.
Wow.
They had them in their lap. So the point here is that you don't have to do a lot. You don't have to have a lot of money to help people. Sometimes it's just the littlest thing that you do that can put the biggest smile on somebody's face.
Yeah, and
well, it's just the acknowledgement for them, I think, just the acknowledgement that there's someone out there who cares and respects what they've done for this country.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and just like the conversation with the gentleman in Clearwater, it was just saying, hi, how are you? Are you having a great day? I mean, it was just words. I didn't even have to do anything other than speak kindly to him to make his
day.
That's
right.
So, I mean, it's like...
Isn't that exciting? I find that exciting that we have we are able to make a difference in somebody's lives.
Easily.
Without doing a lot. It's really amazing. And that's what love is really all about. It's touching the hearts of other people and not letting that take on a life of its own.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, listen, I definitely appreciate everything you've shared with us today, and we so want you to come back regularly and tell us what's going on in the East Coast. We're the West Coast Connection. You be the East Coast, and we'll keep an eye on what's happening with the school building, because I really think that a lot of our listeners would love to get behind you. We have a good portion of listeners in the East Coast, because we're retired East Coasters as well. Yeah, absolutely, Jen. We're really happy to know you and to be able to share what you're doing with the rest of the world. And, darling, keep up the good work. You're a great inspiration to a lot of people. I applaud you.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I feel very honored to have been on your show. And I think you two are wonderful and beautiful. And I think what you're doing is really helping to change humanity.
Excellent.
By bringing out the best of people and showing them what we can, you know, what people can do.
Absolutely.
Thank you for what you're doing.
Thanks, Jen. Keep in touch. We'll talk to you again, darling.
All right. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. Such a wonderful guest and so inspiring. And today's dedication song, because every week we dedicate a specific song to our guests, this is going to be a Saint Tone song called Burning Sun. Tony was the writer of this song. Tell us about the song, Tony.
What I did is I found a common theme that we all share, and I used the sun as a symbol. And it's basically trying to find unity, what we all share in common. And the fact that Jen is helping people over in Africa from here in America is a perfect example that we can help our fellow human beings and what we do have in common.
No matter where they live, what color they are, what they believe in, it doesn't matter if they're in prison, if they're out of prison, no matter who and where they are.
And it's really interesting, actually, at the end of this song, I say America, South Africa.
Yeah, I'm just thinking
Burning
about
sun.
That. And where can they find this song, Tony?
This is available on my website, www.sainttone.com, and you can find it on iTunes, CD Baby, and a number of other places.
And the lyrics are on the site, too, which I love to point out to people, because a lot of times people want to go onto the site and read along, sing along, and you know, learn the lyrics.
That is correct.
So, let's play Burning Sun.
Who shines so brilliant light on each and every one through the heart.
Once again, that was Burning Sun by yours truly, Saint Tone. You can check that out at www.saintone.com, sainttone.com.
So we are about to wrap up another show, and we want to thank all our listeners out there for supporting the station. We get such amazing feedback. We really love that you guys are communicating with us. And if you can hop on to our new Humanitarian Radio Facebook, that would be fabulous. We're looking for some likes there. We know you like us, so just click the button. Come on.
Yeah, it's not that hard. Just click the button.
And then check out our website, humanitarianradio.com, to see who the next guests are. And if you missed one of the episodes, we always archive the shows on our humanitarianradio.com website. And check out Easy Way Broadcasting. That's the network that we're hanging out with these days on this station, and we'd really love for you to look at all the great things coming on that station as well.
Peace. See you next week.
Bye-bye.
Humanitarian Radio, shouting out some good news for your soul.